Today's shir is Masech Tichul and Daf Samach Beis, and we will begin at Daf Samach Chal from the Beis, the last words. Rav Nachman, Hayibaki Behemel Vishmei Seim. As we have been learning, the Torah identifies 24 birds as non-kosher. And those 24 birds actually could be categorized into four groups. There's the nesher, which has no simen tahara. There are the peres vosmia, that have only one simen tahara, as we'll discuss in a moment. There is the oirev, which has two simani tahara. And there are the rest of the birds that have three simani tahara and are not kosher. All other birds are kosher. So Rav Mar begins by saying, Rav Nachman, Koyivaki Behem Mishmei Seim. And we're going to learn Pshat of the Gemara as Rashi explains Pshat of the Gemara. Rashi explains that Rav Nachman, Koyivaki Behem Mishmei Seim means that Rav Nachman was an expert in parrots Rosnia. And because Rav Nachman knew what bird were the parrots Vosnia, whenever he would see a bird that had only one simen tahara, since he knew what was a parrots Vosnia, and he knew that these two birds, he knew that the bird that he was looking at was not a parrots Vosnia, he could be certain that the bird was kosher. Why did he have to know, say the Rishonim, Baki Behen, that he knew I was a Paris Vosnia, and therefore if he saw a bird with only one simen, as soon as he knew it wasn't a Paris Vosnia, he's safe. Why did he have to also know Shmai Sehem? So I saw a number of Pshatim amongst the Mepharshim. Some Mepharshim suggest that if something has the same name as the Paris Vosnia, we need to be concerned that it is in the family of the Paris Vosnia, and therefore is Asur. And therefore, he didn't only have to know the Paris Vosnia, he also had to know Bishmei Seim, anything that had a name like a Paris Vosnia. Another pshat is that in order to avoid any error, Rav Nachman had to know what were the Paris Vosnia, by knowing what the Paris Vosnia and knowing all the names, that's how he could be certain that he wouldn't make a mistake and come chas v'shalom to eat a parrot vosnia. Another pshat is, as we're going to see in the Gemara in a few moments, the parrot vosnia typically don't live in inhabited areas, and therefore most people weren't that familiar with the parrot vosnia. And therefore the only way to be sure one wasn't making an error was by knowing what the parrot was. Knowing the Paris Vosnia, Ushmei Sehem. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Now it's going to be the way we're going to learn the Gemara. However, the Tosfos learns that when the Gemara says Rav Nachman Hayibaki Behem Ushmei Sehem, it doesn't mean that he was only an expert in the Paris Vosnia, but rather the way to understand the Gemara is Rav Nachman was a Baki, was an expert in all birds, not just the Paris Vosnia. Although Tosfos says that what's relevant to our shir is that he should only know what is the Paris Vosnia, because by knowing what is the Paris Vosnia and what is not the Paris Vosnia, as soon if he'll have a bird with only one simen tahara, he'll be safe. But the fact was, says Tosfos, and that's the wording of the Gemara, Tosfos says, Baki Behenem Shmei Seim, that he was a Baki in all types of birds. However, there is another opinion amongst the Rishonim, and that opinion amongst the Rishonim suggests that Rav Nachman had to know, in order for Rav Nachman not to come to make any mistake, he had to be Baki in all types of birds. And only because he was a Baki in all types of birds, he would know that Oif Habab Simen Echad, if he had a bird with one Simen Tahara, it was Tahar, if it's not the Paris Vosnia. But if he's not familiar in exactly what is the Paris Vosnia, the Simen Echad Tamei. and he has a bird that has only one simen, then that bird, he has to be concerned, is tameh, for he needs to be concerned that perhaps that bird is the peres vaznia that we know that the Torah said one may not eat. Now continues the Gemara, b'shnei simonim, if there's a bird that has two simonim of tahara, if your makar oyer, the only bird that has two simonim tahara and is not kosher is the oyer. So if you're going to have a bird that has two simonim tahara and you know for sure that's not the oyer, then the halacha is, Rav Nachman says, you're allowed to eat that bird. Ask the Gemara, is that true? I read the story. Is our only concern that when we see a bird with two simonim, that the only concern is that it's an iris, and therefore if you're certain that the bird in front of you is not an iris, you can safely eat it. But Tanya, ask the Gemara, the Torah, when it identifies the iris as a non-kosher bird, it says iris, which means the iris is non-kosher, and then the Torah adds the word laminoi. And the word laminoi comes to teach us that not only is the oyriv not kosher, but anything that's in the family of the oyriv is not kosher. Rav Elazar Omer, and therefore Rav Elazar says, "L'havi asar zarzir." From here we learn that the zarzir is also included in the oyriv family as being non-kosher. Ask the, says the Gemara, "I'm loyal to Rav Elazar," and they said to Rav Elazar, "V'lo ashi kfar hamrasa shel Yehuda." Didn't the people from Himrasai eat it? Because it had a zefek. Amlahem, which the Lezer replied, they actually did the wrong thing by eating it, he said, because it's a non-kosher bird. So the Rishonim explained this Gemara as follows. First is a machloikis Rishonim. If there's actually a machloikis between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim here or not. Some Rishonim suggest that there is no Machlokes. The Chachamim agree with Rav Elazar that the Zarzur is Osir. And the question only was that the people in that place of Kfar Kimraso ate from the Zarzur. So some say there is a machlokes between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim. That's how Rashi and Tosfos seem to learn. The Chachamim disagree with Rebbe Elazar. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that because the Mishnah learns Pshat the Gemara this way, that the Chachamim actually lahalacha agree with Rebbe Elazar that the zarzer may not be eaten. But the question that was being posed to Rebbe Elazar was that in the place of Kfar Kimraso, they did eat the zarzer, neshesh lem zefek. And here too we have a machlokes Rishonim. What is the point that Gemara is trying to make by saying neshesh lem zefek? Rashi and Tosfos seem to learn that the zarzer has a zefek, the oyriv does not have a zefek, and therefore they people held that the zarzer and zefek are very different. The Rivon learns what the Gemara means to say is that the Zarzir has a Zefek and is not a Dairis, and therefore they ate from it, whereas the Oirev is a Dairis, and therefore they didn't eat from the Oirev but did eat from the Zarzir. The most common shot that the Rishonim explain is based on a Gemara that we're going to learn later in our parak. That the Gemara says that the reason actually that the Zarzer is considered a non-kosher bird is because the Zarzer lives next to the Oyrif. And the machlokes between the people of Kfar Kimraso and Rebbe Elazar is if something lives next to the non-kosher bird, is it to be treated like a non-kosher bird? Rebbe Elazar says it is a reason to be treated like a non-kosher bird, whereas the Rabbanan held that it is not a reason to be treated like a non-kosher bird. The Baramar has another pshat, which we're going to discuss more later about later in our shir. His pshat is that all of these halachas are actually based on Mesaira. And Rabbi Lezer had a Mesaira that the Oirev was a non-kosher bird, and the Anshi Antim Rasa did not have, Kfatim Rasa did not have that Mesaira. Davar Acher, another point, Liminea Lahavi Sonim Slavona. And here too, there's a machlokes how to learn the Gemara. Most Rishonim explain the Gemara that this version has that the Torah about Oirev uses the word Liminei, which comes to expand the word Oirev and includes the Sonunus Lavona in the family of the Oirev. And therefore, the Gemara's question, as it was a moment ago, is why is our Gemara saying that just why is it adequate to be an expert in knowing what an Oirev is? That should not be enough. Because even if you're an expert in knowing what an Oirev is, the family of Oirev includes many other birds. There are other Rishonim, and it's really based on the Gerson the Gemara. Is the Gerson the Gemara Laminoi, or is the Gerson the Gemara Laminehu? Because if the Gerson the Gemara is Laminoi, it's like we learned, the Torah is still speaking about the Oirev. If the Gerson the Gemara is Laminehu, the Gemara is not speaking about the Oirev anymore. Now the Gemara is speaking about the Nates. And the Gemara is saying that in the Nates family is included the Snus Lavana, Divir Abelezer, Amrloi, Valoi Anshu Galil Ha'elion Oichlan Oisoi, the people of Galil Ha'elion ate from it, Mnei Shukukovna in Niklaf, because its gizzard could easily be peeled. Omlam, to which Rabbi Lezer said, Afhein Isin Litin Asadin, because it's actually not kosher. And here too, the Rishonim debate, what does the Gemara mean, the fact that Krokovnoi Niklaf different than make it different. So the way most Rishonim explain that the Krokovnoi Niklaf is not, is something unique that Oirev is not half. The Krokovnoi of a Oirev is not easily peeled. And therefore, the fact that the Snunus is, that makes it different. Another way of understanding was that the Machloikis was, how do we look at the peel, and we'll discuss such a concept later in the shir, of this Snunus. Do we look at it as something easily peelable, and therefore kosher, or is it not easily peelable, and therefore it's not kosher? So as the Rajba explains the Gemara, the Rajba says that actually the questions that our Gemara has been asking could have been, the basic question that our Gemara is posing could have been asked without all of these episodes mentioned. Rather, says the Rajba, the point of the Gemara is that Rav Nachman, the Gemara made a statement that as long as you're sure what an Oirev is, then if you have any other bird with two simonim, you have no problem. And that the Gemara is asking that shouldn't be true, because we see that the Oirev family includes other birds. The reason the Gemara, says the Rajba, brought down these other incidents, these stories about the Snunus Lavana and the Zarzer, is just to make the point that we see that the Oirev family is a very large family. But really the Gemara's question is based on the simple word of the Torah, Laminoi, which has the Oirev much more including, not just the Oirev. And therefore, answers the Gemara indeed. When we said that if you see a bird with two simonim, if you're an expert in what an Oirev is, then you could eat it if you know it's not an Oirev. It doesn't mean that you're only an expert in knowing what an Oirev is. Oirev, v'chol minei Oirev, it means that you know everything that's in the family of Oirevim. And you could be sure that the bird that's in front of you is not in that family, then the halacha is you're allowed to eat from that bird. Amar Ameima, says Ameima, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Oif haba b'simen echad, if a bird is brought to us with one simen, we could say that it's tahar. as long as v'hu lo daris, as long as the bird is not a daris. For as the Rishonim explained, what our Maimor is teaching us here is that any bird that is a daris, under any circumstances, may not be eaten. And it's worthwhile to stop for a moment and review what is a daris mean. Rashi in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes explains that a daris means a bird who seizes the food with its claws and lifts it off the ground to its mouth. On our Gemara, Rashi defines daris as to a bird that breaks off small pieces of food while holding the rest of the food in place on ground with its foot. Tosfos quotes the Ben Tam and disagrees, and he says because chickens also eat in that manner, and we of course know that chicken is a kosher bird. Ben Tam therefore said that daris refers to a bird that eats its prey without killing it first, without waiting for it to die. The Rambam said that daris means a bird that killed a prey by clawing them to death. So if a bird is not a daris and it has one simen, the halacha is that that bird is kosher. Omlay of Ashi Lameima, so if Ashi asks a Meima, Had Rav Nachman Mai, what are you going to say about what Rav Nachman taught us, that you have to be an expert in knowing what is a peres vazmiya in order to be able to eat a bird that only has one simen tahara? Amalei, so he replies a Meimer, Lashmili, Kalaimalei Svirli. I don't agree with Rav Nachman. And he explains himself. Because Mayika, why must I be concerned when I see a bird with only one simen, that maybe it's a not kosher bird, maybe it's the Paris Vazniya? Why do I have to be concerned? Because of the Paris Vazniya, says Ramema less Nabiisha. The Paris Vazniya don't fly in inhabited places, and therefore when we see such a bird, we need not be concerned that it's a Paris Vazniya. Interesting, Machlaikis, how to understand what the Gemara means when it says less Nabiisha. Some of Farshim explain that less Nabiisha means that these two birds, Peretz Vazniya, never fly B'Yishuv in inhabited areas. Many of Farshim disagree with that pshat, and they say that they do at times fly in inhabited areas. What the Gemara means here when it says that it doesn't fly B'Yishuv means that where Jews lived in the time of the Gemara, that means in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, there were no Peretz Vazniya. But that doesn't mean there's never a Peretz Vazniya in an inhabited area. The Torah, when it speaks about the purification process of a Metzorah, says that the Metzorah has to bring two birds. Says the Gemara, two Tzipores. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Oif HaMesaret, a bird that scratches, Koshla Taras Metzorah, can be used for that procedure, the Zui Sinunis Levana, and as the Sinunis Levana that we just discussed, Shenechuka Rebbe Elazar Chacham, that we just discussed, Rebbe Elazar Chacham argued over its kashrus. Machloekes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara as well. Some Rishonim explain that the Gemara means to say that specifically the bird that the Torah said, the Sinunis Levana, that the Torah said should be, that the Torah said should be used, is the bird, the tzipor that the Torah said should be used for the Metzorah, is the Sinunis Levana. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim, most Rishonim ever don't learn that way. And they explain that the Torah says that you should bring a tzipor for the Metzorah, and what the Torah means when it says you should bring a tzipor by the Metzorah, the Torah means you could bring a whole variety of birds. And one of the birds that the Torah says that you're allowed to bring is the Sinunis Levana. But it doesn't mean specifically the Sinunis Levana. Amra Meima, so comments on Meima. The Chivra Kresa, when it has a white belly, Kuli Amaloi Pligi Visharya, everybody agrees that that bird is a kosher bird. Ki pligi b'yiruka kreisa. The machlokes about Tsnunas Levana is when it has a yellow or a green belly. Rav Elazar Asur, Rabbanan Sharul. Rav Elazar says that it's Asur, Rabbanan, that's a non-kosher bird. Rabbanan holds it's a kosher bird. Vilchsuk Rav Elazar. And the Mefarshim make a very interesting observation. When we spoke a few moments ago about the Zarzer, we quoted a Machlokes Rishonim, if there's a Machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim about the Zarzer. Rashi and Tosfos said there was. The Kesef Mishnah says that there isn't. However, when we spoke about the Tsnunas Levana, there, say the Rishonim, even the Kesef Mishnah will have to agree with Rashi and Tosfos that there's machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Because here our Gemara clearly indicates, when we're speaking about the Tsnunas Levana, that there is a machlokes. It must be that by the Tsnunas Levana, all Rishonim will agree that it's a machlokes on its kashrus between Rav Elazar and Rabbanan. Mazutra Masna Hakri. Mazutra had a different version. He says, but the Yeruka Kresa, when it's yellow, Kulam Lekligi Dasar, everybody will agree that it's Asar, Ki Pligi, but the Chivra Kresa. The machlokes is when it's white. Rav Elazar, Asar, Rav Elazar says that even the white one is Asar. Rabbanan Sharad, Rabbanan say it's kosher. Vilchsuk Rabbanan, the Sharad, and Halachas like Rabbanan say that it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Bishlomo Mandam of the Chivra Kresa Pligi, the Mandam that says that when it's white they're arguing, Haimu Dutani, we could understand what the Bryce says, Snunus Luvnana. And it spoke about the white Snunus. Ella Mandam of the Yeroika Pligi, my Snunus Luvnana. What is the point of calling it the Snunus Luvnana? It's everybody agrees that that's Asa. And it's the Gemara, what the Bryce is trying to teach us, on Fuki, the Baki, the Ochnasi. The Bryce wants to distinguish between the white one and the house one, because in the house one is a black bird, which is certainly Asa. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chava, Amar Yehuda. And Tosfos makes a very interesting observation. Rav Chava was an Amora, and Rav Yehuda in this Gemara as well was an Amora. But we know, says Tosfos, that usually an Amora is called in Shas Rav without the Yud at the end, and a Tana is called Rebbe with a Yud at the end. So if Rabbi Yehuda here is not the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, but it's the Amora Rabbi Yehuda, so the question is, why is he called Rebbe Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda? So Tosfos says that even though Amoraim are typically called Rav, but when one Amora is quoting his Rebbe Muvik, his Rebbe, then he says the word Rebbe, even though the person he's referring to is an Amora. Rechava was a Talmud of Rebbe Yehuda, and therefore even though Rebbe Yehuda here is an Amora, he called him Rebbe with a Yud. So it says, Amr Rechava, Amr Rebbe Yehuda, Tassel, Possimut Tum Tayrim Kosh Mishum Neyoyim. As we learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chof Beis, the Gemara in Daf Chof Beis taught us that there are two types of birds that can be brought as a carbon, the Tyrant and Bnei Yoyna. The difference between the Tyrant and the Bnei Yoyna is that the Tyrant can only be brought when they're mature, and the Bnei Yoyna can only be brought when they're young. So says the Gemara that the Tussle is in the family of the Tyrant, is not in the family of the Tyrant, it's in the family of the Bnei Yoyna. Tussle Mishim Tyrant, the Kosher of Bnei Yoyna. Can't be brought as a Tyrant, could only be brought as a Yoyna. The Tzifi, the Tyrant Shorachava, on the other hand, the bird called the Tzifin and Tyrant Shorachava, by them the halach is Sheirim Mishim Tyrant, they can be brought as Tyrant, Upsum Mishim Yoyna. Therefore, they can only be brought when they're mature, not when they're young. Ask the Gemara, Master of Chanil Barakatina, Kala Ophis, Paisla Mechatis. The Torah teaches us that if somebody becomes a Tamei Meis, in order for him to become Tahor, he has to have the Mechatos, water, which is Mayim Chayim, mixed together with mixed together with the ashes of the paraduma, and that's how he becomes tahor. The Torah, as I just said, requires ma'im chayim. Says the Mishnah Masechet Parah that if a bird drank from those ma'im chayim, that water is no longer kosher to be mechadesh. And there's a number of explanations in the Rishonim as to why. One explanation is because what happens by all birds besides the yonah is that the bird drinks from the water and then it expels some of that water back. It expels some of that water back into the glass that it drank from. And the halacha is that any water shenasas ben melacha that work was done with is not kosher to be used as ma'im chayim, and this is used water because the bird drank from it. Other Rishonim explained that the concern is that it maybe has mixed into it some of the saliva that was in the mouth of the bird, and other Rishonim explained that once the water was in the mouth of the bird, there was hesach hadas. It wasn't properly being watched. And any water that's not properly watched becomes disqualified for ma'im chayim. Chutz min ha-yoyna, except if the yoyna drank from this water, neshim et tzetzis, it sucks up the water, and any water it drinks, it doesn't expel back into the cup it drank from. Now ask the Gemara, if what we said on the bottom of Amun Aleph is correct, that the tussle is in the family of the yoyna, then this isa, so the if the tussle is in the yoyna family, listen the chutz mi yoyna v'tussle. And as the Noi de Yehuda explains the Gemara's question, Noi de Yehuda says that since it was obvious to the Gemara, since it wasn't so obvious that the tussle is in the yoyna family, because we see that our Gemara had expressly teach us that the tussle is in the yoyna family, we should have, the Mishnah should have expressly taught us that the tussle should be treated like the yayna. Answers the Gemara, Amr of Zera, Zem Maitzitz a Mekia, the Zem Maitzitz a Mekia. This is the way, again, with working with the Noi de Yehuda, how the Noi de Yehuda explains the Gemara. He says, if the Pshan in the Mishnah was that the Mishnah is trying to teach us names of birds, which birds are a problem and which birds are not a problem, so indeed the Mishnah should have said that the yoyna is not a concern, and so too the tussle is not a concern. But explains the Gemara, says the Noi de Yehuda, that the point of the Mishnah is not to start listing other different types of birds. Rather, says the Noi de Yehuda, in explaining the Gemara, the point of the Mishnah is to teach us which birds are. The point of the Mishnah is to teach us what is the characteristic we should look for. If the bird expels what it drinks, then we have a problem. If it doesn't, then we have no problem. And that's all the way to understand the Mishnah, rather than to try to understand that the Mishnah is trying to differentiate between different names of birds. And therefore the Mishnah didn't have to mention the name Tussle. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Hani Kufshu Tzutzaini, these types of Torim, Shem Lagav Mizbeach, may be used on the Mizbeach, Vehenein Torim Shel Rechava. They were the Torim of Rechava. In a number of places, the Torah tells us to bring Ezon. When we're doing the purification of Mitzora, the purification of a Bais HaManuga, regarding a Tomimais, in the purification of the Efer Achatos, and the Mar asks that the Mishnah says in the Sechta Nagon, Ezoif, when the Torah tells us to bring Ezoif, the loy Ez of Yavin. We may not bring an Ez of Yavin. An Ez of Yavin, because it's not just called Ezoif, it's called Ezoif Yavin. And if it's called Ez of Yavin, therefore it's not kosher. So now, here too, the Mefarshim explain Rashi in the following manner. Any Ezoif that isn't just called plain Ezoif is certainly not kosher to be ezer. So the best example I could think of is, let's say we were talking about lettuce. So there's lettuce and there's romaine lettuce. So romaine lettuce is not lettuce because it's called romaine lettuce. And therefore the same thing, and the same thing be ezer. If something is called a specific species of ezer, it's certainly not kosher. The question is, if something's called something with a species name, but it's called that way because it comes from a certain place, is that considered a situation that has another name along with it? So the way the Rosh Hash explains the opinion of Rashi is that it matters. It matters, says the Rosh Hash, if it's in everywhere called that place. In other words, using our example, let's say there would be something called American lettuce. So if American lettuce is called that name even in America, then that's called a Shem Levi. But if it's not called that way, only if it's not called that way only in somewhere else besides America, then that's not called something that has a Shem Levi. So the Mishnah says when we have to bring an Ezoi, it has to be Ezoi, the way is of Yovan, the way is of Kaifli, the way is of Roni, the way of Bori, the way called Ezoi Shiesh or Shem Levoi. So we see that when the Torah says Ezoi, it has to be pure Ezoi. Similarly, when the Torah speaks about Tyrim, the Torah means plain Tyrim and nothing else. So therefore the Gemara's question is, how can we use Tyrim that aren't called plain Tyrim? To which Abaye responds. Amar Abaye. Any species who had already this modification added to its name before Matan Torah, the Torah love. And the Torah said, in other words, anything that was called something else besides just Ezoiv before the Torah was given, and we see that the Torah went out of its way to say, we want you to use only Ezoiv, nothing else. Yesh lo shem levoi is possible. Bahani, however, these yes, there were different species of Torah identified, but that only happened after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, they were all in the general family of Torah, and since they were all in the general family of Torah, that's why they were all kosher. Rav Amar, Hani Kufshani Tzitzani, the Asr Stam Karolos. And as the Mefarshim explained, very much in line with the way we explained the Gemara earlier, Rav is exactly saying what we said. Rav is saying, as Rishash helped us understand, that if something has a name attached to it, we have to see if everywhere that attachment is used, or it's not used everywhere. So in the Gemara in the Havamina, the Gemara assumed that everywhere the Kufshaini Tzitzaini are called Kufshaini Tzitzaini. And if that's the case, that they're called Kufshaini Tzitzaini everywhere, even in Tzitzaini, so that's a proof that it has a Shem Levoi. And if it has a Shem Levoi, it may not be used as a Torah, because it's not a Torah, it's a Kufshaini Tzitzaini. But then they discovered that in Tzitzaini, wherever Tzitzaini is, that it didn't have another name. In Tzitzaini, it was called plain Tyrant. And as we said earlier, if in the place where they naturally are, they're only called by that name, then that's not considered a concern, and therefore the halacha is that such a bird is in the family of Tyrant and can be used as a carbon. Continue to Gemara. Amar Yehuda. Hani Kaiz the Beis Halfi. Rashi explains grasshoppers that grow amongst the swamp is shari. The Beikarbi, the ones that grow amongst the cabbage, is also. Amar Ravina. And Ravina goes on to say, we shouldn't say that this is just a suffix. There's a question if it's kosher or not kosher. Rather, says Ravina, that it's certainly not kosher. And if somebody has to show him ate from this grasshopper, it's considered that he ate a non-kosher grasshopper. It's not a suffix, it's a vadai, and he'll get malchus. That's how Rashi learns Peshat in this Gemara. Tosfos disagrees. Because Tosfos says, Tosfos doesn't understand how our Gemara, which until now we've been discussing the halachas of, birds, would now start discussing the halachas of grasshoppers. Tosfos says that we will speak about the halachas of grasshoppers, the mitzvah Shem, but we're not learning the halachas of grasshoppers now. And therefore Tosfos says that this is in the category of sheretz ois, which is usur, and that's what we're discussing. And that's what we're discussing at this point, that these different species, some are sheretz ois and some are not considered sheretz ois. Continues the Gemara. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, sarda bird is shari, barda is a different type of bird, which is usur. The simonim, and the way to remember which is kosher and which is not kosher, bar minot, the word bar means excluded. The barda is excluded for being in the kosher species. Marda, continues Rabbi Yehuda, marda is a suffix if it's kosher or not. Omer Abasi, and here we have a machlokes rishonim, how to understand this next piece of Gemara. Rashi learns the next piece of Gemara as follows. We've been learning in the previous shiur, that any bird that has all four simonim of tahara, any bird that has all four simonim of kashrus, is certainly a kosher bird. And the birds that we're now going to discuss in the Gemara have all the simonim tahara. The only question that we're going to have, as the Gemara is going to describe in a moment, is were they kokovnei nikolov? Do they have an easily peeled korkovin, an easily peeled gizzard or not? And based on that, and that's the Gemara's question, and to be able to know, is this a kosher bird or not? There are other Rishonim that have a different explanation of our Gemara, and it's not specifically talking about a bird that has all the simonim of kashrus besides korkovin nikolov. Rather, the Gemara is saying that all kosher birds have korkovin nikolov, even if they don't have all of the other simoni tahara. And therefore, they explain the Gemara as follows. Once you see a bird that has korkovin nikolov, you could be quite certain that it's a kosher bird. But we need to now identify, are these in the category of korkovin nikolov? Amar Abasi, Shemayna state the same. There are eight birds that are shayla. Chuva, chuga, suga, harguna, tishlami, umarda, kuchfino, nafcha. My sukai, what is the question? Says the Gemara, Ifis to Hirim, we know that one of the simonim of a kosher bird is korkovin nikolov, that the korkovin is easily peeled. Utmeim, a non-kosher bird, and korkovin nikolov. Bahani, korkovin nikolov is a peeler. You could take off the peel around the korkovin, but you need a knife. Ask the Gemara, for he by after the Havbe Marshmu, wasn't there this goose, this duck, in the home of Marshmu, the Laukavim Muklav Korkovinik, that the gizzard cannot easily be peeled? For Isi Bashimshim, and they put it in the sun, the key in the roughy, once it was softened, Iklif, it came off. So you see that it doesn't have to come off easily, and still in the category of Korkovin Niklif. Answer the Gemara, Hossam. That's not a comparison. Hasam, kirafi, indeed they had to be softened. But once it was softened, iklafi yada, you could peel it off with your hand. Hacha, regarding these birds, after that the rafi, even when they get softened, were miklaf al besakina. The only way they could peel them is with a knife. And therefore, the Gemara remains with a question, are they in the family of korkovin nikolov or not? Omer Abaya. Tanagol the agma, chad nishvan svekasu. The Tanago the Agma is one of the Sveikis, if it's kosher or not, the Hainu Marga, Omra Papa, and therefore Rapapa says as follows. Tanago the Agma is a Sira, Tanago to the Agma is a non kosher species, Tanago to the Agma is Sharia, the Simonach, and the way to remember is the male, Amoini Veloy Amoini. So the very fundamental Machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn this Gemara. Rashi explains that the Gemara is differentiating between the male and the female. and that the Gemara is teaching us that the male variety is Aser, and the female variety is Mutter. Just like we have by the Amoinim, that the Amoin is Aser, the Amoinim, the males are not allowed to come into the Jewish nation, and the females may. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Because Tosfos says, if the male is prohibited and the female is mutter, there can never be one that's mutter, because every child is a combination of the male and the female. And Allah is hayoytzim in a tamei, anything that emanates from something non-kosher is tamei, is non-kosher. And therefore Tosfos explains that the difference between the Tarnagol the Agma and the Tarnagol also the Agma is not male versus female, but they're two different species altogether. There's one species called Tarnagol Dagma, and there's another species called Tarnagolosa Dagma. The Tarnagol Dagma is a non-kosher species. The Tarnagolosa Dagma is a kosher species. Rabbi Chonan explains the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in a very fundamental way, which is fundamental in explaining all the sugyas that we are going to now be Be'emet Hashem learned. And that is as follows. We know, as we have learned and will be learning, there are simonim for kosher birds and kosher animals, and as we're going to learn, for kosher fish. How do we understand, these simonim, asked Rabbi Chonan? Do we understand them, to use the words used in the yeshiva, as a siba or as a simon? Which means as follows. When we see the simonim of a kosher bird or animal, does that mean that the simonim is what made them kosher? Or is the simonim just a raya that it's a kosher bird? That means a horse is a non-kosher animal. A cow is a kosher animal. It's not kosher or non-kosher because of the simonim. They're kosher because this is a kosher variety and this is a non-kosher variety. Just how are we to know? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah gave us simonim. What would be the nafkamina? This Gemara is the nafkamina. Rashi says the simonim are what make it kosher. And therefore Rashi says the male variety don't have the kosher simonim and they're not kosher. The female variety have the kosher simonim and therefore they're kosher. Tosfos, however, learns differently. Tosfos says that the simonim aren't what make them kosher, it's the variety. Either it's a kosher species or it's a non-kosher species. And therefore, says Tosfos is going to learn, says Rabbi Chonan, you can't have that in one species the male should be kosher and the female should be not kosher. The male should be trade but not kosher and the female should be kosher. Because it's a species and it's not the simonim that make it kosher. Where would this be very relevant, l'halacha l'maisa? According to the way Rabbi Chonan is explaining Rashi's opinion, the halacha is that that if it has simonim, that's what makes it kosher. So what would be the halacha, discusses Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, if through genetic modification we'll have a non-kosher species have simonim? That means, let's say we'll have a horse that will be genetically modified to be malus gay of Shashah Shesa. Will it be kosher or not? Maybe according to Rashi, it should be considered a kosher animal. But then says Rav Shlomo Zalman that certainly not. Because even if we follow Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, says Rav Chonan, that's only if the animal was born by itself with kosher simonim. So Rashi says the fact that it has kosher simonim makes it kosher. But if we made the simonim, even Rashi would agree that that doesn't make it kosher. Darsh Mirema, so Mirema said, Tanagol to Agma Sira, the Tanagol to the Agma is also, even though they originally said it was Mutter. Why? Because Chazi Dar Savakla, they saw there was a Dairus. As we said earlier in our Shir, anything that's a Dairus can never be kosher. The Hainu, and this is actually the Gerusa bird. And Rashi, a very important Rashi based on this Gemara, says that from here we see that the only way we can eat a bird is based on a Masaira. Because here we have a bird that they thought was kosher, and then they realized that it was treif. So we can't rely on anything on him. When it comes to birds, says Rashi, you have to have a Masorah that a bird is kosher or it's not kosher. And in fact, there's a very famous discussion amongst the Paiskim that the turkey was a bird that really wasn't found in Europe, where Jews typically lived, or the Middle East where Jews lived. The turkey is an American bird. And how are we allowed to eat turkey? So I saw a number of explanations in the Paiskim. One shot that the Paiskim say is that the turkey, and we know the turkey in Hebrew is called Hoidu, because Hoidu is India. So the turkey actually originally came from India. And in India there were Jews who had a Masorah that the turkey is kosher. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that even though Rashi, and the Ramah paskins like Rashi, the Ramah quotes Rashi, said that we only eat birds with a Masorah, if we see a bird has all the simonei tahara that we've been discussing in our shiurim, then you're allowed to eat that bird. And the Hoidu has all the simonei tahara, and since the Hoidu has all the simonei tahara, that's why we're allowed to eat the Hoidu bird. Another pshat that I saw that the Paiskim suggest is that since, even though perhaps originally maybe they weren't allowed to eat turkey because they didn't have a Masorah, but once it became so widespread that everybody eats Hoidu, it's considered already like it has a Masorah. So it's an interesting situation. But even though maybe originally they shouldn't have eaten the turkey, now it became mutter. However, I did see that there are paiskim that suggest that maybe you shouldn't be allowed to eat a turkey because indeed it doesn't have a Masorah. One more interesting question. Our Gemara is saying a very interesting situation, that originally it ate this non-kosher bird, and then they realized that it was a virus and they stopped eating it. So the Farshim asked, the Taz asked this question, that we've quoted the Gemara many times, the hashtag, behemtim shal tzadikim, ene kodesh baruch hu mevi takol al yadayim, that kodesh baruch hu is careful to make sure that the animals of tzadikim don't do anything wrong, tzadikim atzman lekoshkin, certainly with tzadikim. So how could it be, asked the Taz, that people ate something that's not kosher? We learned by Macholos Asuras, the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes sure that Tzadikim should not eat Macholos Asuras. So one shot that I saw is that Tzadikim never ate this bird. Another shot that the Meches Yitzchak discusses is that this rule was only set in earlier generations, later generations, which means already in the time of the Gemara, they weren't on that Madrega. Another pshat that I saw is that if the halacha says that something is mutter, so if they're doing it based on what the halacha says, then that's not considered you did an aveira. If you follow what the psak of the gedolim say, that isn't considered you did something wrong. The psak changes, so then you have to follow the new psak. But then I saw a new pshat, another pshat from the Satan Rebbe in the Divrei Yoyim. He makes an interesting observation. He says, we know that the Pesukim in Navi teach us that when Mashiach comes, the world will look very different. And the world will be a world of peace, even amongst animals. That animals that were dangerous will no longer be dangerous. He says, what does that mean? He says a very powerful verse. He says, the way animals, the way the entire world acts is based on the way we act. So he says, in earlier times, people acted more appropriately. And therefore, birds also acted more appropriately. And birds weren't darsim. Then in later times, he says, people started acting not so appropriately. And along that way, the birds in the world started acting not that appropriately. And the birds became darsim. And then he says, so when Mashiach comes and people again will start acting the way they're supposed to start acting, the birds will also start acting like they're supposed to, and they will no longer be darsim. Amarav, Shvar and Dafta, Sharu, is a kosher species. Pirus and Dafta is Asa. The Simanach, Pirus Rishayim. In their time there was a Rasha, a well-known Rasha, Parva, who was a Mechashiv. Pirus was a well-known Rasha. Amarav Huna, Bunya Shari, Parva, also the Simna Parva, Mugusha, Parva, the Mechashev, and that was the, his name was used as the base of Parv and the base of Migdash. Arm Papa, Mar the Zogi, the Ochel Shari. The Marder that stands erect and eats is a kosher species. Sog Vachel, but the one that bends down when he eats is Osir. The Simonach, to remember the bowing down one is Osir. Le Shishtachel El Zor. Shas Yechamra. Omishmul Shas Yechamra. The type of word that was called the wine drinking is Osir. The Simonach Shisu Yayin, Suma Avoida. Vomishmul Maz Gechamra. The wine mix is Asira. Baz Maz Gechamira is Sharia. The Simonach. The Gemara teaches us that the halacha is that if someone owes someone else money, and he dies, his children don't have to pay unless the malva swears that the money is still owed. But let's say the malva died also, the malva's children could collect without a Shvua. That's Yofa Kayacha Ben. The children are in a more powerful position than the father is in the father's position.